Hi, my name is Sydney, and I'm very excited to be talking about anime again today.
Hi, my name's Chesney. I am Hatali Wall on AO3, and I am happy to be here. You may know me from Missing, a Spy Family fanfic, or you may know me by my found family trope, Genshin fanfics.
Amazing. Well, yes, I am here alone today. Maya is taking some time off, but I am overly joyful to be joined by a fanfiction author that is, again, bringing us back to our bread and butter, which is anime. As you heard, Spy X Family and Genshin Impact are one of the many fandoms. Both of those, well, one of those I know really well, and one I don't know as much. So I am very excited to vibe about some shows that I know very well, and then excited to learn about some new stuff today. She is the author of Missing, Do You Need Help, and Home is a Strange World. Welcome, Hatali Wall!
Hi, thank you. Again, so happy to be here.
Yes, I am so happy to have you here. I'm excited to talk about anime.
Oh, yes. I presume that you have seen Spy Family?
I have seen Spy Family. Shockingly, I don't do it for, like, any other anime, but I heard about it when it was, like, a manga. And the concept, like, when it first came out as a manga, and the concept of, like, a spy, an assassin, but neither of them know they're an assassin, and then there's a little Esper child who knows that they're both an assassin, like, both spy and assassin. Like, the concept was just so good to me that, like, I couldn't not read the manga, even though I'm just, like, not a really big manga reader. So I've just been in on, like, the ground floor and was so excited about, like, the anime.
Oh, that's so exciting, because I actually got invested in the manga as well. It was a nice little break in between college courses back when it was first coming out. You know, for me, I am very, if anyone has read my fanfic, you kind of know that my favorite trope is found family. I ate it up like ice cream. So the idea of this little orphan child who's just a little mischievous.
Absolutely.
Getting adopted by, like, probably the two most dangerous people in the entire country. I was like, sign me up. This is exactly what I need right now.
It's so good. And, like, the thing is, like, I can see what's coming from a mile away, but I don't care about that. I'm just waiting for when that time comes. And I'm, like, waiting for, like, the found family elements to, like, really be implemented of, like, they know, but who cares? I love this person so much. Like, this child is my child, and I'm not going to let anything bad happen to her. And I'm actually like, I'm just waiting patiently because I know they're going to happen one day.
Yes. That was actually kind of what inspired me to write Missing.
Yes.
Because I was thinking about the trajectory of the anime, and I was like, you know what? I think this could theoretically happen. Slight spoilers, I guess, if anyone hasn't read the fic or hasn't really gone that far into the manga. But I was like, you know what? Something tells me that Damien's dad is kind of involved mm-hmm. in this. I have not had it confirmed yet, so it is still just a fan theory.
Sure.
But I mean, come on.
Look at the man. He looks so sketchy.
That man absolutely has a skeleton in his closet. Yes, and it's probably not just a metaphorical one.
Absolutely. So yeah, to jump into the episode before we get really deep into the anime gossip, tell me a little bit about your relationship with fan fiction. How did you find it? And how did you get started reading and writing it?
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, I am a elder of the internet and of the fanfiction world, I guess you could say, as in I am 24 and I started writing when I was like 15,
I want to say.
Oh, those were the dark days. but I can actually distinctly remember the first time I decided to write fanfiction. I was on a bus and my phone had died and I was going on a school trip and I was like, I'm very bored. There's no one here I can talk to because no one in this like small little group that I was going with knows anything about anime. So I guess I'll just like write my own thing. Yeah. Like I'll just make up my own story right here, right now. No one can stop me. So I wrote my first fanfic, again, internet elder. Mm-hmm. As you can see by my tag on AO3, I was a Hitalia fanfic.
Yes.
You know, right in its prime. We all have that phase, okay?
I was personally in the age of like 14, 15, really deep into Super Hulock. Like that was my thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes. I knew there was like, you know, the part of the internet that was like Homestuck and Hetalia, and then the part of the internet that was like Super Hulock. And my question after like you had finished answering this one was about like Hetalia, because like I tried so hard, because I was on Tumblr, obviously I was a Tumblr kid, and they were everywhere, like the countries, like fan art about them, and I was like, I need to know. Like, I've always just had that thing of like, if I see it enough times, I need to know what it's about, why people are into it, like just everything. And so I really tried with the show, but I just couldn't get into it. I don't know if it was just like the short episode lengths or like the fact that I really couldn't find it anywhere that wasn't just pirating it on some weird website. Yeah. But I, if you wanted to get into it after you finished, that would be completely fine, because I know I kind of cut you off. But I do want to know like what it was about the show for you to have such a huge connection to like literally make your AO3 username Hetalia Wall.
It's kind of a twofold story. Mm-hmm. The short answer is I have a hard time with memorizing names for like all these different sites that I use. And oh, okay. Hetalia Wall's kind of been my tag since the fanfiction.net days.
Yes.
But also, you know, I'm a firm believer that cringe culture is dead, and you gotta accept and acknowledge your roots. And it was my first ever fan fiction. Whenever I first went to conventions and I first started cosplaying, I met a lot of really sweet people at the conventions who were just so nice and so accepting. And yeah, I mean, you know, it was my roots. It was where I started. And for me, the show really intrigued me because I'm a huge history buff. I do like history. Okay. I would not say the show actually accurately portrays history, but it was fun anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, it at least got me interested into actually looking at the real history behind the different skits and
for sure.
Picking out where they were correct and picking out where there was like artistic liberty.
sure. Was it your first anime? Was that your first introduction into anime, or had you already been watching anime before finding Hetalia?
Oh, so it was my first introduction to anime along with Soul Eater.
Okay, yeah.
Because my first time ever watching anime, I was at a sleepover, and they were like, we have three choices, and you are forced to watch all of them. I don't remember what the third one was, but it was Hetalia and Soul Eater, the ones that really stuck with me.
Yeah.
And
I finished at this point, right?
Exactly.
That third one was.
Exactly. I finished Soul Eater in, like, a week, and then I was like, I guess on to the next one.
Yeah.
That's how I ended up watching Hetalia.
So after getting back to my original question for you, I guess.
Yes.
What was your journey after starting with Hetalia?
So after Hetalia, I was in that fandom for a very long time. And I wouldn't say I'm completely out of it. Like, I still, if I'm feeling nostalgic, I'll still kind of dig around on Tumblr for a little bit.
Absolutely.
But it kind of opened up the world of anime to me. So I got it into, you know, all the big shows that you would expect someone from 2015 to get into, you know, like My Hero Academia, like I said, Soul Eater, Hetalia, Princess Jellyfish.
Okay, yeah.
And I just took off from there. I was writing mostly Hetalia fan fiction because I felt like I had a good enough grasp on those characters at the time. And then that was my fanfiction.net days. And then I hit college, and I was still engaging with fandom. I was still watching anime, but I was also very much studying for most of the time. Mm-hmm. And then Spy Family hit.
Yes.
And I got a new hyperfixation. I was like, ah, yes, I remember now what happened to me when I first was introduced to Hetalia. Mm-hmm.
It's that same like rush of like adrenaline almost. You're just like, this is the thing that my heart is connected to in a way that like nothing else has ever before.
Yes, it was an immediate love, like from the first couple passages, like from the first couple panels even. I was like, this is where I'm going to be investing the rest of my time for at least a year or two.
For sure. For absolutely. Was it only the found family. Like, has found family always had a little place in your heart ever since the Hetalia days?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I just think found family is such a sweet trope. I think it's very, I wouldn't say underutilized, but I just want to, like, proclaim the gospel of found family.
Absolutely, you should.
Like, it's just so good, you know? Just, like, a ragtag group of people who find companionship and family in each other. And it also leads to, I mean, excellent angst / comfort.
For fit, sure.
Which is just chef's kiss amazing. Mm-hmm.
I definitely think that it has always been around, but maybe it's become either A, more popular in the past like 5 years, or just like found the term for it. So it's like easier to find on places like AO3.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel like, yeah, I mean, like back on fanfiction.net, you know, it was so hard to find specific tags and specific tropes. And then now on AO3, you can just type in the trope and the tag, and it's like you're introduced to like 2,000 fics that fit your, what you're looking for. And it's just absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fanfiction.net was my first, like, my introduction into fanfiction. And that website was absolutely garbage to find anything. Like, truly, like, I don't think the people who have been blessed with only knowing AO3 know just how hard it was to find, like, anything on fanfiction.net. Because it basically gave you, like, the fandom, the genre, which was, like, romance, horror, canon. Like, it was, like, so, it was, like, nothing. Like, count and that, and maybe like a rating, but even after some time, like, who gave a fuck about the rating because you got rid of the explicit rating?
The dark days of just trying to dig through the pile of fan fiction that is fanfiction.net.
Yes.
And 90% of it was not at all what you were looking for.
No. And then if you tried to find something that you had read and, like, try to find it again, at least, like, for me, who was, like, a teenager on fanfiction.net, you would have to either, like, bookmark it or you would never find it again. It's very similar to, like, Tumblr, where if you, like, looked up even the same amount of tags, it just pulls up a completely new set of fanfiction and you're never going to find it ever again.
Oh, there have been so many fanfics that I still think about that I did not properly bookmark or have just fallen off the face of the internet, where I'm like, you changed my life, but I can never find you again.
There needs to be, like, a forum or, like, a subreddit, because there's a subreddit for, like, trying to figure out, like, a book that you had read when you were a child, and it was, like, there's a girl with red hair, and she does this and that, and then there's, like, a group of people trying to figure it out and help people find, like, old books they're thinking of, and there needs to be something like that for fan fiction.
Oh, absolutely. I would pay money for that, honestly. I would pay money for that.
I know that, like, AO3 and OTW are going through some shit right now, but, like, we need this specific website to help me find some old-ass fanfiction.net, or even older fanfiction that, like, has been lost to time, but I still have, like, the exact, like, fandom and, like, maybe one scene that happened in it, and I was like, I need someone to help me.
Oh, man, and back in the day, like, whenever you were trying to look through the tags and you couldn't find what you were looking for, and you're like, I guess I need to make the embarrassing shuffle over to Wattpad.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I guess this is where I am now, and somehow there's people even younger than you who are writing fanfiction on there.
And it's not even like their sorting system is any better than fanfiction.net. So it's literally just kind of going through the same thing, but on, like, just a completely different website of, like, there are no tags, there are no tropes. It's just, like, I can look up, like, basically the characters, because it was all searchable by, like, title, and that was it.
Yes. Oh, were you into fandom whenever they first started the Citrus scale?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I don't know if it was, like, when it first started, because I know, like, it first started happening when they had the first, like, purge of fanfiction.net, which was, like, we're the same age, so I was, like, a elementary school kid, and I didn't get into fandom until I was, like, 13, 14 years old, but I did stumble upon the Citrus scale, and I remember, like, you know, they'd be, like, it would have, like, lemon in the title, like, in between brackets or something, and I was, like, what's that? And then, like, my life was drastically changed. Like, that was a canon event. Like,
cannot interfere. Oh, the, I remember I was a very gullible child, and I was like, huh, I need to look up what this is, because I just read it everywhere. So I looked it up, and someone was like, hey, I explained the citrus scale, fan fiction, here you go. And I was emotionally scarred, and I will never forgive that person.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's something, like, someone was there to teach you, because that was also a thing about early fandom, I guess, that, like, there were not a lot of people teaching other people how to do fandom correctly. Like, it was just kind of a free-for-all, you know? In the beginning, they had, like, Angel Fire pages that you literally had to, like, some of them you had to get, like, invited by other people, or just, like, find them on your own. And now there is just such a community of people who have been in fandom for literal decades, or even people like us who have been in fandom for at least one decade.
Oh, yes.
That can, like, teach other people, like, what it was like to either write without organizations like OTW and websites like AO3, or just, like, things like the citrus scale of, like, you'll never know what it's like to just stumble upon badly written smut and be starred at 13 years old.
Oh, man, yes. It, like, going on to fanfiction.net back then, and the internet in general, it just felt like the Wild West.
Yes.
And now I feel like the grizzled old sheriff in the corner. It's just, like, info dumping to the new recruits about like how the town works.
Yeah, like, smoking a pipe and, like, rocking in a rocking chair and be like, gather round, children. Listen to my tales of old.
Gather around, children. I was at the convention when the yaoi paddles were just beginning.
Oh my god.
They're, like, just starting to come out of fashion. Yes. I was glumped.
You're like, I was there, not at DashCon, no, but on Twitter while everything was going on, and thanking my lucky stars that my mother would not send me there.
Oh, yes. Gather around, children. You will never know the pain of having to read fan fiction on your family computer and praying to God above that you remembered to clean the history.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. So, going back to your fan fiction, you write mainly for anime. There is, like, the Owl House is in there. And then Genshin Impact, I don't know if considered an anime, it's a video game, but of all of them, Genshin Impact, Spy Family, Hetalia, The Owl House, those are the ones that I could find on AO3, obviously, if you've written others on fanfiction.net. Which of those has been your favorite, and has there ever been another fandom that you have wanted to write for, or is there a fandom right now that you're, like, considering, like, oh, maybe that would be fun?
Oh, yes. So, it's hard to pick favorites. It's like picking your favorite child.
Yes.
But I think right now, just because it's, you know, Spy Family, I wouldn't say it's on hiatus. Of course, the manga is currently ongoing, and I'm gobbling it up every 2 weeks.
Yes.
But the anime itself, we're waiting for the movie or the next season, whatever they're going to do to come out. So, I've kind of shifted my attention a little bit to Genshin.
Yeah.
Especially because they're about to release a new patch of the game, which will have the next region, which is Fontaine, which is very exciting news for the Genshin fandom.
Okay.
I think right now that's kind of my baby right now.
Okay. Is there a specific pair in Genshin Impact that you're particularly interested in right now? Or character, I should say.
So Diluc Ragnivir is the perfect example of my found family trope needs, because I very much envision him as, like, a asexual, aromantic man who just accidentally finds himself adopting, like, the majority of Mondstadt's children, which is the city in which he lives.
Right.
Yeah, it just sends me endless joy, because it's the oldest trope in the book of, like, grumpy older guy who, he's not even really that old, but he's just old by the game standards.
He's like 30, but, like,
exactly. Exactly. He's like the grumpy older guy who's, like, you know, like we said earlier, like smoking in the bar or whatever. Yes. And he's just like, I am the Prince of Darkness. I do not feel emotions.
Yes.
And then he's like, that is a child. I will now protect them with my life.
Yes.
And it's such a good trope. Other than that, I would say my favorite romantic relationship right now is Sainari, which is Saino and Tainari.
Okay.
They are just, Saino is just he looks really stern and everything. He's like a general, but he loves to tell super bad puns.
Okay.
And Saino is just a sarcastic scientist. And together they have Kale, who's their adopted daughter.
Of course.
Not officially, but pretty much officially.
Yeah.
And it is just absolutely fantastic. Other than that, I know earlier you asked about, like, any other fandoms I'd be interested in writing for. Toilet Bound Hanako-kun has kind of crossed my mind because I love Supernatural and it is upcoming spooky season.
Yes.
But I haven't exactly found my footing. I'm waiting for inspiration to hit probably at 3 a.m.
You know what? That's the perfect time, actually.
It is.
Especially for something like spooky season adjacent, because that's the witching hour. So that's the perfect time, actually. Yes. I wanted to ask about, you know, you said that ship, and obviously you have your fic missing, which is a Your Ex Lloyd kind of fic, which we've already talked about as a found family element. For your ships, do you find yourself leaning towards ships that have that element of a found family, that have that, like, kind of adopted child element to it?
I absolutely do. I can't say what it is. I just think the idea of, like, a happy little family is just so nice and so sweet. And it adds another element of, you know, we are together, but we also have to, like, protect this small child who's, like, getting into trouble. And I just think it opens up a lot of good tropes and opens up a lot of good, like, material that I can work with. Because I just love kids. I used to babysit a whole lot.
Oh.
And for a time, I was actually going to be a mother baby nurse. Not anymore, because I decided that was not for me. But
so,
children are just, like, just so sweet. And I'm like, I just love writing fan fiction.
Yeah, it's the best. And yeah, kids do just the darndest things, you know? That's the reason why every parent says that.
Absolutely, because on the one hand, you have, like, super sweet moments. And then on the other hand, your child is, like, stuck in the tree, and you're like, how did you get up there? And they're like, I'm a wizard. And you're like, okay, sure, you're a wizard, but you also need to go to bed, so let's get out of the tree.
You're a wizard, but you're not Spider-Man. You're gonna break something, and you gotta get down.
Oh, yes. I was actually at the airport recently, and there was a little toddler with her parents, and, you know, we were going through TSA or whatever, and we were coming back into the country. And the mom was explaining, like, okay, you know, we're going to talk to the nice people and they're going to say, welcome back to America. And then, you know, we're going to tell them that we went on a vacation and we did not bring anything back with us. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, but what about my caterpillar? And the mom was like, no, honey, your caterpillar is imaginary. She's like, no, she's not.
No, she's not.
And the mom was like, honey, yes, she is. Do not tell them that you have a caterpillar. Because, you know, no live animals or insects and border control.
Yeah.
And so I was just listening to this very long conversation with a very tired mother who probably just got off an 8-hour flight trying to explain to her daughter, no, honey, you cannot tell the officers that you have a caterpillar.
Yeah, that is something that I look forward to in about 10 years' time.
Yes.
I'm okay right now.
I get all of that out through fan fiction because it's like, I cannot afford financially, emotionally, or mentally afford a child right now. So, like, they will be on paper for the time being.
Yes. I am going to get into our kind of, like, rapid fire fan fiction writing questions for you. So the first one is, are you a planner or a pantser when it comes to writing your fanfics? Do you plan something out first, or do you just, that idea comes to you at 3 a.m. and you just go?
I would say I'm a little bit of both.
Okay.
And I know that's kind of like the middle of the fence answer, but it really is true.
I think that's what everyone wants to be, you know, just a little bit of both, not too much of one, not too much of the other.
Yes, because I, you know, random inspiration will kick, mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay, I've got a great idea, let me type this all out real quick, and then I'll just start writing my chapters, and I will have a general idea of where I want to go. Like, if I'm feeling extra fancy, I might mm-hmm. even write out, like, you know, like the high school English paper of, like, here's your proper outline with, you know, here's what you're going to do for your exposition, here's the, you know, inciting incident, here's mm-hmm. the climax, here's the fall in action.
Yeah.
But no, most of the time I'm just like, inspiration hits, let me write down all these different ideas and mm-hmm. then just connect them with a string like a crazy conspiracy theorist.
I mean, that's the way to do it, right? Just... You know, I think that is kind of the perfect happy medium where you have that, like, burst of inspiration, but instead of just being, like, chapter one, the night was high, and you're just instead taking all of that, like, energy and being like, so this idea and this idea and this idea and this idea, and good night, I will connect them when I have a brain in the morning.
Absolutely. Yes.
Because that actually leads to something, and not just, like, in the morning you're like, why did I write 15 pages and I have no idea what's happening next?
Yes. Or, like, you know, I'm very much I'm a daydreamer, so, like, I'll, you know, think about my stories as I'm going to bed trying to figure it out, mm-hmm. and then I'll be like, I get a random idea and I have to write down the idea very quickly, right. Otherwise I'm going to forget. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't have time to write it all because, you know, I haven't worked the next morning or some other boring adult thing to do.
It happens to the best of us, unfortunately. So, since you have a proclivity towards found family ships with some sort of child element attached to it, do you prefer or do you like... reading a kind of domestic, not much happens except for really cute everyday things with these characters that you love, or do you like the long drawn out kind of storied, as you said, like hurt comfort, a little bit of angst with a happy ending feel? Like, which do you prefer?
Oh, I very much lean towards the long drawn out angst mm-hmm. / comfort, hurt / comfort drama. I mean, if anyone has read Missing, you know the first chapter is very angsty. Mm-hmm. Apologies to Anya. Poor child.
Like, a heart still out.
And Lloyd and Yor, for that example, they were not having a very easy time, mm-hmm. especially in that first chapter. Yeah. But, you know, I like that kind of thing. I love the hurt / comfort. I cannot handle hurt / no comfort.
Yeah.
I have to have that comfort at the end because, oh, I can't do it. My heart can't take it.
Mine can't either. I'm not one for just an excessively long, drawn-out, angsty period or even, like, a unhappy ending. Like, I always need a happily ever after.
Oh, yes. I need a happily ever after, no matter how unrealistic it is.
Yeah.
my philosophy is, like, I write fan fiction and I read fan fiction to escape.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I wanted something with, like, a super sad story or super sad ending, I would turn on the news. I don't
Absolutely.
Want that. So, like, give me my happy ending. Like, yes, give me my struggles and my tribulations, but mm-hmm. gosh dang it, the characters need to rise out of the end like a phoenix. They need to just make it out and be happy, dang it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I, like, it is kind of so bad to the point that, like, I can't do angst, and I haven't been able to for, like, years. Like, it was recently that I went back and I re-listened to, like, Maya and I's debate on, like, happy versus unhappily ever after. And, like, no part of me has changed in, like, the 2 years since we have recorded that. With, like, I avoid things that I know are, overly depressing. That I know don't have a happy ending. That, like, maybe it's, like, I don't know, he's happy internally now. I don't fucking care. I want them both to be happy as they are. Like, I want them to be together at the end, whatever. And I just have avoided, like, you probably know, like, Banana Fish, the anime?
Oh, yes. I can't do it.
I refuse to watch. I know it's good. I know everyone loves it. But, like, my soul cannot take that.
Oh, my I can't handle it. Like, the idea is so intriguing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I heard it has an unhappy ending, I'm like, I can't do it. Goodbye. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. I cannot handle all of that angst and then get rewarded with a sucker punch to the belly. I can't do it.
I know. And then everyone's like, but it's like real. I don't care that it's realistic.
I don't want it to be realistic.
I don't want it to be realistic. I watch these things to be unrealistic. That's the thing, as I said, of like, you know, like, he finds inner peace and makes peace. I don't care. I want them to be together at the end.
Yes. Yes. Like, is it realistic that, you know, let's just say this character makes it out of this dangerous situation alive?
Maybe
no,
not.
But I don't care, because guess what? If I can have a freaking, like, Esper child, I can have my happy ending. Dang it.
I watch movies, I watch anime, I read books, not to be realistic. I'm watching it for the magic of cinema.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's like the, you know, everyone's going out to watch Oppenheimer and then Barbie.
Yes.
I understand it, but I also don't understand it. I'm like, why would you want to get so depressed and then just watch something so happy? Because if I watch something really sad, I'm going to be sad for like 3 days.
Oh, yeah. That's why I will be watching Barbie first. 100%. This episode comes out the day Barbie comes out. I hope everyone of you who listens knows that I am sitting in a theater watching Barbie and having the time of my life. So
I will probably be working, but I will be going to the theater after I get off of work.
Yeah, as you should. And then I'll get to Oppenheimer like the week after or something.
I probably will never get to Oppenheimer, but if I do, it'll be within the comfort of my own house with like a ton of popcorn.
That's totally fair. That's totally fair. I have been getting more into film just because Maya is my resident film nerd. She's like a film kid. She's in film school. She knows so many things, and I wish to have conversations where I can keep up with her. So I've been getting into film lately. So I've been watching a bunch of Christopher Nolan movies, and I'm like, all right, this might be really good.
I can't do the dark and gritty action movies.
Totally fair.
I can't do it. But then I do also like a little bit of darker, angstier fan fiction. But again, it has to have that comfort ending. If it doesn't have the comfort ending, I'm just not interested, because why would I subject myself to getting beat up for 10 chapters?
Right.
And then the last chapter is just an anvil falling on my head. If I'm gonna get beat up for 10 chapters, I better have a happy ending. I swear.
Absolutely. You're like, someone better like come pick me up like I'm a child and my dad is carrying me into my bedroom after I've fallen on the couch. I want to be treated so gently after that.
Yes. Okay. Like, you better give me the snuggles, you better give me the words of comfort and love, and like,
Yes. It's also, with something like fan fiction, you already have a comfort element there of, you already know these characters, you already love these characters. So, you know, going into something like Oppenheimer, where you're just like, this is new territory, and you don't have, like, that tag of, like, angst with a happy ending, so you're guaranteed that. It is just, like, the unknown that, like, I can understand why, even if there is angst within a fan fiction, there are so many guarantees of comfort at the end that, like, you are more willing to dive into an angsty situation.
Oh, yes, because there's a lot of dark themes on, I mean, Dead Dove, Do Not Eat.
For sure.
There's dark things that I kind of dabble into where I'm like, okay, today is a day where I need a good cry.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I know there's going to be that comfort at the end.
Yeah. Okay, so we kind of already spoke about it with the angst, but I do have the two kind of flip of a coin question of, is there a trope that you have yet to write but really want to? And then, is there a trope that you would never touch in a million years?
Oh, that's hard to say. That's a hard one. I guess a trope I've kind of been interested in, I guess right now my biggest trope that I've been working a little bit more towards is a bit more of the, like, psychological side of things.
Okay.
I would like to write a little bit more of characters with mental illness and, like, portraying it in a way that's not where they are the villain or where, you know, like, I love Criminal Minds, but, you know, we do not need to be portraying schizophrenic or for people sure. with schizophrenia as, like, you know, these crazed killers, because 90% of the time they are absolutely not.
Yeah.
So it is kind of something I'll be looking into, but I need to, you know, dust off the psychology books and do a lot more research before I would ever feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah. Mental health, yes. I think, is such an interesting topic to go into specifically for fan fiction, because fan fiction is, like, you know, the singular work of art that doesn't have any other hands in it besides the authors and the parties that the author has chosen that they feel safe enough showing their work before they're publishing it. So where something like mental illness in a movie or even traditionally published novels go through a publisher and they're trying to sell it, so maybe they might not show, like, the realistic aspects of mental health, fan fiction is not trying to do that. So I do feel like something like mental health struggles can be shown so authentically in fan fiction because it's just the author, like, you know, reliving and telling their story of their own mental health journey, or writing mental health in a way that will be respectful.
And yes, absolutely. I, you know, a lot of the hurt slash angst does revolve around mental illness, mm-hmm. especially on AO3. And it is, I feel like it's a fine line between glorification, but, like, you know, vent work, mm-hmm. I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people who write fan fiction, well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say a lot of people, because I'm sure there's some very mentally stable fan fiction authors out there, but sure. I'm not one of them. So yeah. I'm just going to talk about my own experience here. Mm-hmm. Who, you know, like, it is good to be able to write, like, get my frustrations out, or, like, write a little bit where it's kind of inspired by some of my mental health journey, because, like, you know, especially in Missing, where I was, like, talking about anxiety and, like, mm-hmm. the fog of depression, it was like, oh, it feels good to get this out on paper,
right?
And especially if other people see it and just feel comforted or just feel seen, of mm-hmm. like, you know, like the example of you know, you write about a character with depression and, mm-hmm. you know, you don't hide the fact that, like, hey, they smell because they haven't taken a shower in, like, 3 weeks, because right. it just seems like a insurmountable obstacle. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, it feels good to read that, because it's like, yeah, that is a ugly side of mental illness that they don't really show yeah. on TV because they have to market it to such a wide audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can see that. In what you were saying about, like, even, you know, with depression, anxiety, but with other mental health disorders, illnesses, however, like bipolar, schizophrenia, BPD, that are just, as you said, like, villainized in other forms of media, that people reading fan fiction and reading a character who the author has written to have schizophrenia or BPD or whatever else being feeling seen in that, in the writing that they're reading.
Absolutely. And I think that's so important because, you know, like, it's a trope as old as time of, like, oh, the killer at the end, they had, you know, DID right. or, oh, you know, they were bipolar and so yeah. they went out and did this. And it's, you know, it's like, no, you need to, like, the statistics do not lie. Most mm-hmm. of the time, people with, especially those types of mental illness that are not very well understood, they're 9 times out of 10 the victim of crime rather than the perpetrator of right. crime. So I just feel like, you know, people need to learn more about it.
Mm-hmm.
They need to learn more about the symptoms and just learn more about it in general, because a lot of the stigma comes from fear.
Right.
So if people just, you know, learn more about it, you know, hopefully there wouldn't be all this fear around it. There wouldn't be this stigma, and there'd be, gosh darn, less of these freaking villain tropes involving mm-hmm. mental illness, because quite honestly, I am so tired of it.
No, absolutely. Like, that was one of the reasons I remember that movie, like, Split came out in 2016. And I was like, this is crazy that they're still doing this in, like, the year of 2016 of all years. Like, it's, has this not changed in the, I don't know, however long studies of this mental illness have been done. But even as you said, like, not to have fear over it, or just, like, the fact that these are just, they're humans, right? They're just people. They're not villains. They're not, like, something to be fixed. They're not, like, you know, the way that they go about their own mental health in the way that, like, you know, Maya and I go about our mental health, which is absolutely nothing in the case of, like, schizophrenia or DID or anything. We just battle, like, major, minor cases of, like, anxiety and depression. And even those can sometimes be seen, because I even noticed on, like, social media in the past couple years of things like people not taking showers because of depression, not cleaning up their room. And then we only got accustomed to the side of Tumblr depression, I guess, that was, like, romanticizing it and kind of, like, making it look pretty or whatever. That came with the bad side of Tumblr, I'll say, because there's absolutely a bad side of Tumblr. Always a good website.
Yes.
And so when those, you know, TikToks came out of, like, you know, cleaning my room after, like, a month of being in a depressive episode, and the comments I would see being like, how disgusting, I would never let it get to that point. It's like, well, this is the reality of having depression. Like, I'm sorry to let you know this.
Yeah, it's like, it's not 13 Reasons Why, people. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's not, like, depression and anxiety, it's not pretty. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a, it's definitely not something I enjoy having.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for me, my ugly side of anxiety and depression is that I got so anxious at clinicals once, I passed out in the middle of the hospital.
Yeah.
Fun fact, do not pass out in a room full of nursing students, because they will lose their dang minds.
Oh.
Not, well, you know, fun. What?
You were at least around people that could help you.
That is very true. I was very secure, but they were also freaking out just a little bit, because they're like, trust me, we didn't study this part yet. I'm like, what do you mean we didn't study this part? You would have preferred I passed out next week. Like,
right.
But, getting, like, you mentioned that movie, Split. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I don't think it was Split. I think it was a different movie that I saw. But it was one where it was, you know, doing that classic trope of, like, oh, is it all in his head, or is it,
right,
is it real? And I got to the end of the movie, and I wanted to throw my computer out the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so frustrating that those kind of tropes still exist.
Yeah.
Of, like, oh, this character has a random and sudden mental breakdown, so they, like, kill everyone, and it's,
yeah,
like, I...
No, they really, they make you speechless. Like,
yes. Like, how do y'all schizophrenic characters somehow have such a high level of schizophrenia that, you know, they can't even see properly,
yeah,
but at the same time they're able to, like, drive and function and, mm-hmm, plan out these massive schemes, and it's like, do you know how mental illness works?
Right. The one that drives me absolutely bananas every single time I see it is character A has some sort of disorder or illness, either it be, like, going from, like, anxiety and depression to, like, eating disorder to, you know, bipolar or whatever, and then, like, character B, like, loves them well or something, of just, like, that trope consistently, like, makes me speechless every single time, because you can't just, like, love someone healthy. Like, you cannot.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And it also, it kind of puts a toxic mindset into people of, oh, this person has a mental illness, so yeah, I should be able to fix them, right? And yes, it's like, well, no, like, it's a illness. They need to be seen by a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just fix them. You can support them. You can love them.
Yeah.
You can make them feel safe and heard,
mm-hmm,
but you can't fix them.
Yeah. Especially since, like, with the term of, like, oh, I can fix them, or, like, I can love their, like, eating disorder away, is, like, just, like, inherently the idea of, like, the person is wrong in some way, because they are going through these things. Like, they're going through an eating disorder, they're going through depression, anxiety, or they have mental illnesses such as DID and bipolar and schizophrenia, of just like, nothing is inherently like wrong. They're not a wrong person. They're not like a broken person. You can't just fix, like, there's nothing to fix. Like, there is, you can, like how you said, you can support them and you can like love them through the process. But like, the way that I see it is like, when someone looks at that person, it's like, oh, I'm going to fix it. They see them as like a broken person, which like, if someone looked at me, it was like, I can love her depression away. It was like, I'm not like a broken person. Like,
like, if it was that easy, if you could just love my depression away, oh, I would not be paying this much money in therapy bills, okay?
Right. Like, I wouldn't be paying this much money in, like, meds every month, like.
Oh, gosh, yes. Like, my pharmacy knows me on a personal level.
But,
like, I wish it was that easy, but it's not.
Right. Which I'm hoping, like, the traditional media catches up with. In the way that I have seen in fan fiction, like, people portraying characters with these, like, mental illnesses, disordered eating patterns, like, so accurately, because you can just tell that that person has gone through it themselves, and they're just, like, telling their own story through a character.
Yes. You know, it's something where mainstream media likes to look down on the internet, you know, look down on, you know, even just, like, YouTube or TikTok or, you know, and fan fiction, where it's, like, if, like, some of these fan fictions could seriously be published, and I'm not even, like, 100% joking, like, you could absolutely publish some of these works. They are good works. Just because they're released for free on the internet does not mean that they're not as polished or as professional as actual media. It just means the author was kind enough to gift us with this.
Absolutely. And just because it is fan fiction doesn't mean it's not as life-changing as, like, traditional media would be. Like, there are fan fictions that have changed my life in the same way that there are traditionally published books that have changed my life.
Absolutely. You know, there's fan fictions that I've read that have made me feel so seen and loved and heard, where I'm like, I just reread it over and over again.
Absolutely. So the other end of my question was a trope that you would never touch in a million years. Like, a trope that you're like, no, thank you. I'm okay with never writing that ever a day in my life.
I guess, like, I mean, other than, like, the, you know, the big taboos of, you know, like, non-con, stuff like that, like, like, those, I absolutely would not. I guess in a more lighthearted note, probably smut. I just, like, you know, look, I admire it as an art form. I read it. It's nice. I cannot write it. I just get so flustered. I'm like, I can't do it. What if, like, It's such a weird fear in my brain of, like, oh my gosh, what if someone I know finds this?
Totally.
Would they ever? No. But what if they do?
Like, would they really care? Like, who cares? But I know exactly what you mean.
I'm like, the internal mortification of, oh Lord, what if someone I know finds out? Like, I can't do it.
Even the few times that I have read, like, full-blown smut on this podcast, I always start it with, like, if you know me in real life, please shut this off. Like, I cannot I cannot deal with the fact that you were listening to me, like, saying, like, I cannot imagine. I'm just like, please, for the love of God, if you know me in real life, just shut it off.
Just, like, do not look at me. Do not acknowledge me. Do not look at me as a person. I do not exist right now. Please do not acknowledge my existence.
Absolutely not. So I know exactly what you mean. Because it is that thing of, like, you know, erotica is an art form in and of itself. The people who write erotica are, like, so good at it. And, like, I'm so grateful for them every single day of my entire life. But, like, it's just never going to be me.
Exactly. I admire it from afar.
Yeah.
Y'all are so good. I will gladly read your works.
Absolutely.
I cannot do it myself. I'm like, claps to y'all. I am never going to join you.
You're like, I will be your number one loyalist fan for the rest of my life, but I will stay a fan. I will not join you in the ranks.
Yes. I will be a forever spectator.
Yes, exactly. I'm in the stands being like, woo, erotica. Woo,
slut. Yes. Yes.
So something that I noticed while going through your AO3 is that you are juggling a lot of different fanfics right now. Do You Need Help, Home Is a Strange Word, Blood Is Thicker Than Water, and You're Sending Me Where are all currently being updated. They have all been updated in the last 2 months. My only question for it is, how are you fucking doing that? I can barely juggle like one, and you have like four that you have like recently published on in the last like 2 months.
I ask myself that same question every single day.
Yeah.
I guess my explanation is, when I get hyper fixated on something, mm-hmm. I am a power horse. I will just, like, if I get hyper fixated on an idea, I will have 10 pages typed up before I even know what's happened, mm-hmm. and I will be so tired I will forget to eat.
Yeah.
Not exactly good, but, you know, I would just get so hyper-fixated on something. I'm like, I cannot stop until this is done.
Right.
I also have, like, I'm taking a little bit of a lull from my cosplay hobby.
Okay.
Just because fabric is expensive, yeah. and I do not have a convention that I'm actively going to.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, I'm taking a little bit of a break from that, so I need to figure out something to do with my time.
Mm-hmm.
So right now it's fan fiction. I will say it is definitely a little bit of a struggle, because I feel guilty if I don't, mm-hmm. like, update the chapters in a, like, oldest first.
Sure.
Because I feel kind of guilty, because I'm like, oh.
For the people who have been waiting, maybe, like.
Yes. Like, for the people who are reading Blood Is Thicker Than Water, I am so sorry, y'all. You have had to wait the most in between chapters.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, I'm feeding the Do You Need Help folks, like, every week. Like, I'm starving some of my fans, I feel, yeah. weird to say. But, like, I'm starving some of y'all, and then the others are, like, getting a banquet, and I'm like,
right.
I'm sorry, I just have to follow the hyperfixation until I pick back up again.
Some of your readers are just like, please, may I have some more? And you're like, no, while you're, like, doling out to the other camp that are, like, as fat as English kings.
Yes. Oh, that's literally what it feels like. But it's like, really, it's truly, like, you know, this is a hobby. It's not something that mm-hmm. it's not where I get my money.
Yeah.
You know, it's not how I pay my bills. So I'm going to follow the hyper fixation and
right.
follow what brings me the most joy in the mm-hmm. moment. And I will say, though, I have, because of the trip where I actually got to go to Europe and I got to see castles, so
nice.
Now my hyperfixation is back on castles.
Uh-huh.
Which means Blood Is Thicker Than Water. Y'all are going to be getting something, I promise.
Yes.
I promise. But, yeah, it's definitely a bit of a struggle. But the answer is, I do not have a lot of other hobbies.
Sure. I mean, like, that's fair. Once you become, like, you know, once you get out of college, I feel like that was the last moment of my life that, like, I had several, like, really big responsibilities. And then when you just, like, start a job, like, you know, when you don't have a family on top of it, you're just like, I just kind of go to work every day to pay my bills, and that's it.
Yes. And, you know, that's the thing. I actually took, the other thing is, I forgot how much I loved writing fan fiction while mm-hmm. I was in college.
Sure.
So now that I actually have time to get back into it, it's like, this is fantastic. I'm having fun every day
yeah.
writing all this stuff. I'm having fun researching and mm-hmm. writing. And it's just great, because, you know, I work 3 days a week. I work
yeah.
36 hours. I get home and I have time where I can do whatever I want. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's something where if you had told, you know, a high school Chesney, like, hey, you're going to get out of high school and you're going to get out of college and you're going to be having a blast, I never would have believed you. I would have been like, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
adult life sounds so boring. It's like, no, you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you're done with your job, you get to go home.
Oh, absolutely.
And do whatever you want. Like, do
yeah.
I have to go out and, like, pay bills or whatever? Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I can write fan fiction while I'm, you know, in
yeah.
the line for the
yeah.
DMV or whatever.
Yeah, it is one of those things that in college, it seems like this is forever. Like, this is just going to go on forever. Like, you are never going to get a moment to breathe. You're never going to get a moment of, like, free time because you're going from, like, you know, working whatever job you have to, like, your college classes to if you have to take internships to, like, there's just so many things to do in college, like, whatever major you're in, that it always feels just like a nonstop train, just like barreling, you know, down the tracks with just no stop in sight. And then finally, when you get to that point, you get to graduation and you're just like, whoa,
it's like
I have so much time.
Like, I literally did not know what to do with myself after I got out of college. Like, I was fortunate enough to where I was able to get a job pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I started working and I was coming back home and I'm like, what do I do? I don't need to study. I don't have something to study for right now. Like, I don't have to, you know, type up a million care plans. I don't have to, you know, write all these medication fact cards. Like, oh my gosh, I actually have time to do something with my life that isn't work.
I mean, take it from this girl who got out of college to immediately start a podcast. I have a lot of time on my hands. And that shows you some people just start podcasts because they have nothing else to do.
Well, hey, it's fantastic.
Thank you so much. No, I definitely didn't start this with just like, well, I had nothing to do. But it definitely was like, I have all this time now to do something that I actually really love doing and that like really interests me, instead of doing, as you say, writing a whole bunch of fucking papers and then like working at a newspaper and then like also my internships on top of it. And it was just like, suddenly it was like, wow, I can do things that I actually have like passion for. That's crazy.
Yes. And it's so nice because it's like, for me personally, whenever I was writing Missing after my super long hiatus from fan fiction, I was like, it felt like being welcomed back by an old friend,
right?
Where it's like, oh yes, this is what I miss. This is like the feeling I miss of like the joy of just like sitting down with like a cup of tea and like, you know, typing out like page after page of like, I can do whatever I want, you know, like I'm not trying to publish this in a, you know, in the New York Times. So screw it. If I want my characters to do and say this, they can do and say this.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is very much just like, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. And people somehow like it. I'm so glad that you like it. I'm so glad that you just like me doing whatever the fuck it is I want to be doing.
Yes. Well, and that's the thing that like really surprised me where, you know, I typed up that chapter and I was like, I was, you know, the first chapter of Missing, it was my first work on AO3. And I was like, you know, I was kind of expecting the fanfiction.net type of reviews where it was like, you know, I got like 100 hits and I was like, yes, nailed it, 100 hits.
Yeah.
And then I posted and I was like, oh, dang, people actually really like my work. That's insane. Like, it's just wild to think about. That's something I just like to do in my free time. And people are reading it and like writing such lovely, nice comments being like, wow, this changed my life. Like, you know, I reread this all the time. I'm like, you do? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It just like, it brings joy to other people's life. That is just like, that is the best part, I think, about creating anything.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Like, if I can give other people the same experience I have when I'm reading fan fiction, like, then I've made it. Like,
yes.
If I can entertain other people and make them think of characters in different ways and, like, you know, just have fun, relax for a moment, or, you know, maybe if you're reading something angsty of mine, maybe not have fun, but, like, be gripped by the story, then, like, I've made it.
Yes, absolutely. So we are kind of coming to the end of the podcast. I have three questions left for you. One of which being, what is the best writing advice that you have ever come across?
Oh, I very much live by the theory of when inspiration hits, dump it all out. Like, write as much as you can. I mean, of course, if you have to, you know, go do something responsible, get the idea out while you can, and then go do your responsible thing. But, you know, let yourself write, you know, just let it flow. Even if it's not good, you know, you don't have good grammar, you don't have good spelling, you can fix that later. Just go with the idea go with the inspiration, and then everything else will come in the editing phase.
Right. It doesn't need to be perfect immediately.
Yes, exactly.
And then we have a YM's choice. So of the fics that you've written, which is your favorite and why?
Oh, my babies.
This is why it's Sophie's choice, you know?
I guess it would be Do You Need Help?
Okay.
Because, again, that was one that I started out as very self-indulgent, like, just found family. Like, this is for me. And I feel like it has a very good ratio of, like, you know, one chapter is angsty, one chapter is complete fluff. And I don't know, that's the one where, like, it brings me a lot of joy. It's low stress because each chapter is self-contained. But it does have an overarching, like, flow, like, timeline. Yeah. So it's a nice little break from the more, like, plot-thick ones, like Home is a Strange Word, because the plot's very thick on that one, so.
Right. okay, and then the last question I have for you, I've kind of prepped you for this in the preliminaries, but what is your favorite fic or fics that you would recommend the most?
Oh, I have them written down because I am a perfectionist planner. So for Spy Family, it's a one chapter fic. They actually might have written another chapter for it, but it's called Bloodied Hands by Color Dice, I believe. And it's a angst / comfort fanfic of Anya and Lloyd, and they're out and about, and Lloyd realizes they're being stalked. And I won't give away the ending, but it is, their angst / comfort is just so good. Other than that, I also really like The Wind Is Cold, But It's Warm With You by Kermit Has a Gun.
Oh my god, I love that username.
Right? Isn't it fantastic?
So good.
It's not been updated since, like, 2022, and it makes me so sad. It's literally just one chapter, but the idea has just captivated me, because I am also a big fan of, like, supernatural stuff, and it's a, you know, a dragon adopts a child as part of his horde, and it's a Genshin fanfic, and I'm like, yes, I need more of that, please. And I like to live by the rules of three, so my last one is I'll Catch You When You Fall by Ivysosk. And it's a very angsty Kaya and Delik fic, which are the Rag Bros, the Strange Brothers. And it's definitely more on the darker side. So, like, folks, please keep yourself safe. Read the tags. But the comfort at the end is well worth it.
Nice. Amazing. Well, thank you for being on our little show today. I really appreciate it. I've had so much fun talking to you. Is there anything that you would like to promote while you're here? Any social media, your AO3, fanfiction.net, whatever?
Sure. I mean, I'll just promote my AO3. It is Hetalia Wall. Like you said earlier, I have, like, four fics ongoing. So, you know, just feel free to check them out and just, you know, say hi. I like it when people say hi.
Amazing.
It's nice.
Yes, it's so nice all the time. But yeah, thank you for being here. I had an amazing time.
Oh, thank you. It was so nice talking to you too.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Canonically Incorrect. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Tumblr. You can send us your fanfiction recommendations, or if you're a fanfiction author that would like to be on our show, email us at canonicallyincorrectpod@gmail.com. If you would like to support us, you can donate a one-time donation at ko-fi.com/canonicallyincorrect. You can subscribe to our Patreon monthly at patreon.com/canonicallyincorrect. Thank you to our Patreons, Autumnal River and Riley C, for your continued support.
Donate to AO3!
And we'll see you guys next time!
Bye! Bye.